before the waters of my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to live for thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit heal. So much more than anything. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing. For you found me, you have given life to me. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire.
Good. All right. Thank you, Tim and Ben. They sang that song. You want your music? They sang that song at camp, and I want to say publicly, Brother Reed, I appreciate you working with these young people and developing different groups around the church. And I can't imagine. I've been to a lot of camps. I can't imagine the music being any better than the music we had this year at camp. I mean, it's just phenomenal with the young men, quartets and ladies ensembles. And a lot of these groups, the kids put together themselves. I mean, we didn't prod any of them. They put together themselves. They come to Brother Reed, and they audition, and then he works with them. And so, I mean, these boys, and then, of course, Mason. Played, wrote a song, and he sang that at camp, and then our young men quartet. So had a good time at camp. Well, it's hard to believe we've turned the corner on our week of soul winning, and it seems like I just got up just a little bit, and it was Monday morning, and it was time to go, and I was excited. Just to give you a quick report for the week, that to let you know we've averaged, and this is encouraging, we've averaged 93 out per session. Now that's not a day, that's every session, morning and evening, we've averaged 93 people out. We had 124 out last night alone, and which was the largest group that we've had out this week. So far, we set a goal to ask God to give us 200 people come to Christ. Right now, we have had the opportunity to lead 111 people to Christ this week. And we were praying that God would allow us to see 50 people baptized, and we're way behind there. We've only had 3 people come back and get baptized, but praise God for those 3. And so we got a lot of work to do between now and Sunday when all the numbers are tallied up. And I want to thank you for church for being faithful and how encouraging it is to come out each morning and each evening and see all the folks going out, the young people going out, telling people about Christ. Before I get into the message tonight, I thought maybe there might be one or two that would like to give a testimony. I've asked Brother Mark and Brother Combs, where'd Brother Combs go? Somewhere? All right. Oh, he's in the sound room. Okay. I will just get by with one. I thought there might be maybe two or three people that might be willing to stand and give a testimony about a soul, either a soul-winning experience or a soul-winning opportunity that you had this week and you'd like to share with everybody. If you've been out this week and you've got a soul-winning testimony, why don't you go ahead and stand up. We'll take two or three right quick before we go on any further. It can be a teenager and single, doesn't matter. Just stand up, give a quick testimony about a soul-winning experience that you've had this week. Just go ahead and stand up, and then Brother O will come to you. All right, Mrs. Lassiter, there's one right there.
Sweetheart, you mentioned in the sermon the other night, you were kind of giving our testimony of how we were reached, and as I was praying about where to go, the Lord said, why don't you go back to where it all began for y'all? And so I went back into the neighborhood where we first moved here, and kind of drove past that duplex and just kind of reminisced a little bit about how good God's been to us. Mm-hmm. And so we started knocking that neighborhood, and I knocked on the door of actually she was driving up and she had a little one with her, and they were getting out of the vehicle, and just started talking to her about church first of all, and she told me, it was almost like deja vu, it was almost like I was hearing my story all over again. They were new in the area. Her husband worked all the time, and she had a little one, and she said, I really would like to have him in church. I know that's where we need to be. And she said, but I just really didn't know where to go. And she said, there's so many churches and we don't know anyone. And I thought, this sounds like our story. And I just thought that was so sweet of the Lord to allow me to meet someone now. And who knows what the Lord might do with this little couple. I plan to keep, stick with them and try to get them in. And I'm just thankful that the Lord allows us to be used. And he's been so good. And I just want to give him praise and glory tonight.
Amen. All right. Wonderful. All right. Someone else. Just stand. And if you want to give a quick soul-winning testimony. And Mrs. Hill. We'll take one more. If you'll go ahead and stand up, that way Brother O can find you if you want to give a quick testimony.
Well, I got to go this morning, but I was really excited because I had prayed and just begged the Lord to let me go this morning. And you wouldn't believe every catastrophe that could possibly happen came, and I was just determined that I was not going to let anything or the devil get in my way. And I was blessed. We just gave out with V and Jennifer, and I got to go and give the plan and plant some seeds. And it was just wonderful, and it felt good, and it helped me have a spring in my step and just reminded me of how important souls are.
Absolutely. Amen. All right, right over here, Isaac. Well, I tell you, it's been a good week. I love to be around soul winners. They're happy, they're joyful, they're excited. There's just something about going out and telling somebody about Christ and coming back and just fellowshipping together about what God's done. Brother Isaac?
Well, preacher, I've had a blast the last two nights going soul winning with Ben. And it's kind of a shame to me that I haven't got back into soul winning ever since I was gone for about a year. But the first night, God found it in his goodness to let me lead a 17-year-old Vietnamese young lady to the Lord at the second house I was at. And I thank the fams for going back to try to talk to her mother.
Good.
But she looks like she wants to come and visit and see if we can get her plugged in. But I'm thankful for this church because even though I haven't been out soul winning or visiting for quite some time, the verses are still in my head. They're still in my heart. Mm-hmm. I was nervous that first door, but once I got going, if you know me and my dad, we know how to talk, so especially me. But, I thank God for this church and for the soul-winning opportunities that we have.
Amen. God bless you. And I hope that you'll come and join us. Okay, Brother Ingram wants to talk.
Classic.
His son set him up, so he might as well, don't want to disappoint him.
I got to go out Monday morning with Brother Jaime. We went to his bus route area, knocking doors in an apartment complex that he was in the process of going through for the bus route. Mm-hmm. And the last door we knocked on, it wasn't next to the last door that we knocked on was a not home. Then we went to the next door and talked with a couple for a little while that wasn't that interesting. While we were talking, the next at last door, the two young men arrived, and I went back and knocked on the door as they were going in. Said, I put this track on your door. How y'all doing? And a 15-year-old boy and a 9-year-old boy trusted the Lord as their Savior.
Wonderful.
That morning, and got to go to the prison last night down in Huntsville, and it is an experience to go down there. I went with Brother Reed and Brother Combs, and we all got to say a little bit in front of the church. We let Brother Combs end up and preach for a while. It had about a 2.5-hour long service. And three men got saved at the prison last night, and he is doing a great job.
Yeah.
There was at least 250 there, and that's about all there are seats for.
Mm-hmm. Great, wonderful. Let me encourage you, men, and we go down the third Tuesday of every month, and if you'd like to go, if you'll call the office, we'll try to line you up sometime between now and the end of the year. Thank you, Brother Mark. Take your Bible tonight. And turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read one verse in verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Church, I want to speak to you for just the few moments that we have tonight about the wisdom of winning souls. The wisdom of winning souls. Let's stand together, if we would, please, together. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, you'll see that phrase, tree of life, only just a few times in the Bible. But he said that what is produced by those that are saved, the people that they win to Christ, are like the tree of life. It lasts forever and ever and ever. He says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he or she that winneth souls, Solomon said, is... Now let me ask you this. You think Solomon knew a little bit about wisdom? You think maybe that when he penned these under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that he knew that regardless of whether it was New Testament or Old Testament, still God's number one priority was to win people to Christ, was to win people to himself and redeem them back to himself? And so I want to use that verse tonight, church, to talk to you for just a few moments. Just think about some things tonight about the wisdom of winning souls. Now, Father, we need you tonight and ask you that you'd meet with us and help, Lord, us learn from the Scriptures. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd do your work. You promised that you would teach us and guide us now in the way of truth. And so we pray that you do so tonight, that when we leave this place, that our hearts might be encouraged. And that, Father, when we leave, that we might leave with the zeal to go after people, talk to people, and reach people for thee. And we'll certainly give you the glory for what shall be accomplished in our services tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, let me ask you, what wisdom is there in winning souls to the Lord? The Scripture says that he that winneth souls is wise. So what wisdom is there in winning a soul to Christ? Now, let me get you to think about something. If there's wisdom in winning people to Christ, then there has to be foolishness in not doing so. Did you understand? Let me say that again. I said if there's wisdom in winning people to Christ, then there has to be foolishness in not winning people to Christ. Now, I want to say just a few things here. First of all, the key to winning souls, church, the key to winning souls to the Lord, number one, is not knowledge. Did you know there's a lot of real smart people in the world? Did you know there's a lot of real smart Bible scholars that's never won a soul to Jesus Christ? But they know the book from cover to cover. And they can maybe even quote entire passages, maybe even entire books of the Bible. But never one time have they ever won anybody to Jesus Christ. So the key to soul winning is not knowledge. But listen, do you need knowledge to win people to Christ? Absolutely. But it's not the key to winning people to Christ. I want to say, number two, compassion is not the key to winning people to Christ. Though we know that the Scripture is very plain, that on some have compassion making a difference, all right, pulling them out of the fire. And so we know that compassion is an element, is an ingredient to winning people to Christ, but it's not the key to winning people to Christ. Neither is knowledge the key to winning people to Christ. The church, let me ask you, do we need compassion to win people? Yeah, we need compassion and we need knowledge. I want to say, number three, a burden is not the key to winning people to Christ. You know, people say, well, preacher, I just don't have a burden. Well, let me say something to you. You know how to get a burden? I had a preacher tell me one time, he said that what he counsels when people tell him that they just don't have a burden, he says, well, when's the last time you've read the Bible? Because normally when you read the Bible, you get a burden for souls or a burden for some particular area that the Holy Spirit is convicting you about. I said the key to soul winning is not knowledge, because there's a lot of knowledgeable people. I said the key to soul winning is not compassion, though compassion is an ingredient to winning people to Christ. I said, number three, a burden is not the key, though we ought to have a burden for souls. Number four, conviction is not the key. You see, the thing about it is most Christians that are sincere, true believers, they do get convicted when they don't win people to Christ or they don't witness to people. Because, listen, if you're a sincere, born-again believer, the Holy Spirit convicts you about telling people about Christ. And if you don't, you get convicted about that. But conviction is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But conviction is not the key to winning people to Christ. And may I say to you, even though that we find many places in the Bible where we're commanded to win people, just the command is not the key to winning people to Christ. You see, all of these, church, are elements. They're ingredients that factor in to winning people to Christ. But none of these are the key that's going to unlock the motivational drive nor the zeal that we need to seek after souls. The Scripture says the key to soul winning lies within the attribute and character of wisdom. It's wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, you say, preacher, what is wisdom when it comes to soul winning? Well, first of all, wisdom is the understanding of people. You see, when we go out and win people to Christ, understanding what the Scripture says and what the truth is, we have to understand that people are lost without God, and they cannot save themselves. And so when we go out and tell them about Christ, what we're doing is we're exercising wisdom, because we know that they're lost and they need to be found. So wisdom is understanding of people. Number two, wisdom is the understanding of the situation. You know what the situation is, folks? Everybody's going to die. People are going to die. If the Lord tarries his coming, people will die. And they will either die with Christ or they will die without Christ. And a person that's wise not only understands the condition of people, they also understand the situation. You say, preacher, where do we learn about the condition of people? From the book. Where do we learn about the situation that all will die one day, either with or without Christ? You learn it from the book. So wisdom is understanding of people. It's the understanding of situations. Number three, it's the understanding of the future. It's heaven or hell. It's the understanding that everyone has a future. And their future is with the Lord in heaven or without the Lord in hell. That's wisdom. Now, church, may I say this to you, that through this understanding of people and situations and future, through this understanding, wisdom supplies the ability to apply biblical precepts, biblical judgment, and act upon it. You see, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is doing or putting to practice what you already know. And there's not a person, if you've been a member of this church any length of time, there's not a person in this building tonight that doesn't understand people are lost. The situation is they will die with or without Christ. And everybody in this building understands there's a heaven and a hell. Do you not? So that means we have the understanding. So what's wisdom? Wisdom is putting to practice what you know. And we know that people are dying without Christ. That's the reason it said, he that winneth souls is wise. He puts to practice what he already knows. You see, wisdom is the control of our passions so that principles control our actions. Now, I want you to think about several things, if you would, for just a moment. You know, it seems, church, that it's very evident that the absence of wisdom in our lives leads to the absence of a desire to win souls to Christ. Let me say that again. Without wisdom, there is a lack and an absence of winning souls to Christ. You see, one who lacks the element of wisdom in his secular life can't just turn the switch and turn it on in his spiritual life. Now, you say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you're unwise in your secular life, when I say secular life, I'm talking about with your finances. I'm talking about with the organization of your family. I'm talking about in that area, you're not going to come to church and just turn the switch on and all of a sudden become wise in spiritual matters. You're not going to do it. If you're unwise in the secular world and with family, with finances, you're going to find out that that also carries over into your spiritual life. You can't just turn a switch on. I want you to look at something, if you would, please. Turn over. Hold your place there in Proverbs 11. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Would everybody consider Daniel a pretty wise man? I hope so, because the Bible said he is. And said he was. But Daniel likewise indicates the wisdom of turning a soul to the Lord. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. The scripture says, or Daniel says, and they that be, here it is again, wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Now here it is. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So even Daniel backs up what Solomon has said, that wise people operate in wisdom. They operate understanding that people are lost without God. Now, let's look at some things quickly. You got your Bible right there. We're not going to be long tonight, but I do want you to look at some scripture, some keys here. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. I want to say some, give you some important facts, just for some information about wisdom real quick. First of all, it's the Lord that gives wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. You go to James chapter 1, verse 5, you'll find the same thing. That if a man lack wisdom, what's he to do? He's to ask of God. And you know what God will do? He will give that person wisdom. You say, good, I'm waiting for it. Where is it? You know what normally I found out when I pray for wisdom? You know what God says? Go read this verse. When I say, Lord, I need wisdom, He says, okay, go read the entire book of James. I need some wisdom. Go read the entire book of Proverbs. You know, normally the Holy Spirit leads me, guess what? Back to the book. Where the wisdom is. This is where it is. And so the Lord gives wisdom. Look at Proverbs 9 and verse number 10. Proverbs 9 and verse number 10. I want to say this. You'll recognize it here. You've read it many times. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of wisdom. In other words, listen folks, you've heard me say this and you're probably sick of hearing me say it, but I'm going to say it again. Your love for people and souls will be in direct proportion to your love for God. If your love for God has waned, your love for people will wane. If your love and relationship with God has decreased, your desire to win people to Christ will decrease with it. Because they go hand in hand. It says the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of what, church? Of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 2. Go back there if you would for a moment. Proverbs 2 and verse number 10. This is very important, so I want you to look at it. It says, when wisdom entereth into thy heart. Stop. The scripture says that wisdom is available, but if you're going to get it and practice it, where does it have to enter? It has to enter your heart. You have to be sold on it. You have to be absolutely sold out on the truth that the Word of God is true. And when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, look at it, here it is, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You see, church, what I'm saying tonight is simply that discretion and understanding are the fruit of wisdom. And the key here is allowing wisdom to enter your heart. Let me give you a point in case. How many of you have ever, be honest now, how many of you have ever read your Bible and you sat it down and thought, man, I didn't get a thing out of that? Come on, help me out. Have you done that before? Or am I the only one that's ever done that? Okay, you read it and you sat it down and thought, man, I didn't get anything out of that. It's like, man, I just read it and it just went, okay, you know why you didn't get anything? Because it didn't enter in. God says, listen, if you're going to get wisdom in this area of winning people to Christ, he said it's going to have to enter in. Listen, do you know why a lot of people have not been out soul winning this week? You know why a lot of church members across America are no longer going out and telling people about Christ? Because wisdom has not entered in. They read it and they say, boy, that's a good verse, isn't it? Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Boy, that's a good verse. But they never practice it. You know why? Because it's never entered their heart. They've never allowed it to come in and consume them. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Solomon says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Listen now. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. What? Wisdom and discretion. They go hand in hand. Did you notice here he says a person that gets wisdom, you know what they will have? He says that person, it's like life. It's like injecting them with spiritual B12. People that don't win people to Christ, folks, I'm sad to have to say this, but normally people who have no concern for souls also don't have a concern for reading the Bible either. Because when you're in the book and you're on your knees in prayer, you can't help but have concern for souls. You can't help but love people and love souls. Look at chapter 4, verse number 7. You're right there. The scripture, and listen, underline this in your Bible. It said, wisdom is the principal thing. That means, folks, when God says something is the principal, in other words, it's the foundation, it's the solid part, then you know what? I think we probably need to get whatever he says is the principal thing. Look at verse 4, or chapter 4, verse number 9. She, wisdom, shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Wisdom will give an ornament of grace and a crown of glory to the head of all who have her. Folks, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to face God one day having never, listen, not only won a person, never even told anybody about Christ, and never had that joy of realizing the importance of winning a soul to Christ. Go to Proverbs 12. Go to Proverbs 12. Now, folks, while you're turning there, I'm going to mention something I said Sunday night. I'm going to mention it again. I'm afraid that too many of us, independent Baptists, are evangelistic in belief but Calvinistic in practice. I'm going to say it again. I said what's happened is too many of us, independent Baptists, we're evangelistic in belief. Oh, yeah, we believe in winning people to Christ, but we're Calvinistic in our actions. We do nothing about it. Now, look what it says, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 8. Proverbs 12 and verse number 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Do you see that? A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Now, folks, listen. That means if he that winneth souls is wise, and a man's going to be commended, in other words, he's going to be addressed according to his wisdom. Guess what? Do you think that when we stand before the judgment seat one day that God's going to say, well, you know what? Boy, you've done a lot. You've really fed the poor. You gave a lot to missions. You've done all of this. So I'm just going to overlook that you personally never won a soul to Christ. I'm personally going to overlook that you never gave a tract out. You never talked to anybody. We're just going to let that slide. I don't think so. Because the scripture says a man's commended according to his wisdom. Look at chapter 13 and verse 10. Chapter 13 and verse 10. Look at the last part of that verse. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is what? Stop, folks. Have we been advised about souls? Have we been advised from the book about the eternal destiny of men and women? All right. Then according here, it says then, but the well-advised, or with the well-advised, is wisdom. It's not that we don't know. It's just that we know and we're not doing anything about it. Then go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Go back to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 12. It said, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Are you with me? Now listen, I don't want you to raise your hand. When's the last time you've talked to your neighbor? When is the last time that you've talked to your neighbor about Christ? When is the last time you've talked to many of you that raised your hands and said, I got a family? When's the last time you've talked to your family member about Christ? Because folks, listen, when the sun sets today and you go to bed tonight, do you know they're one day closer to hell? One more day. They're one day closer than they were yesterday to an eternity without God. It says, he that is void of understanding. In other words, those that read but do not apply, he said the scriptures, don't look at it. It says in verse 10. It said, where am I? Verse 11, verse 12, that's where I am. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. You know, there's a lot of people out there, again, they read, but they do not let it enter into their heart. You see, wisdom changes our outlook on souls and helps us look beyond their faults and see the need of Christ. One preacher said one time that wisdom is seeing the world through God's eyes. And you know how God sees the world? Lost without Christ. But he also sees them as he has a desire. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, let me finish this up and give you a few things to think about and some verses to read sometime later on. So what is the wisdom? You say, preacher, what is wisdom behind winning people to Christ? Well, here's the wisdom of it. First of all, number one, it's knowing that a lost man will face God one day in judgment. Remember Revelation chapter 20? It talks about a great white throne. And that all the dead of all the ages without Christ will come, and hell and death shall give up the dead which were in them. And that will be the only moment for eternity that people will be called out of hell to face God. You see, wisdom, folks, is knowing that lost people are going to face God one day. That they're going to face Him and they're going to be judged according to their rejection of Jesus Christ. And then when they're cast in the lake of fire because their name was not found written in the book. Now, folks, listen to me. We know that, don't we? We know that to be the truth, that they're lost and they're going to face God one day. But wait a minute now, here's the second thing. Wisdom in winning souls is not only knowing the lost man's going to be judged, but wisdom is also knowing that we're going to be judged. That I'm going to be judged according to my works. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to be judged before a thrice holy God according to my works, whether they be good or bad. I'm going to be judged based on, you say, well, preacher, there's more to this thing in winning souls. I understand that. But witnessing is part of it. And when God gets around to that part of it, what are you going to have? You going to have wood, hay, and stubble? Or are you going to have silver and gold and precious stones? You see, it's all going to be based on the wisdom, whether we've allowed it to enter into our heart. So wisdom in winning souls is knowing the lost man's going to face God. Number two, it's knowing that we're going to face God. Here's number three. It's knowing that hell is a real place, and hell and the lake of fire await the lost forever. Now, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I am so tired of turning on Christian radio stations and listening to some bonehead try to speak away hell. I'm sick of that. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. And again, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm telling you. You know why they say this, Brother Jimmy? Because they're trying to soothe their conscience for not obeying the book. So if you can explain hell away, then why go win anybody to Christ? Why be responsible? Why feel responsible to reach your own family if you can explain away hell? And it happens every day. Next time you go to the Christian bookstore, you'd be amazed. Go check me out. And find the books that are in Christian bookstores now. Christian bookstores written by authors trying to explain hell away. Why would you even have that in a Christian bookstore and call yourself a Christian? That didn't even make sense to me. You see, wisdom in winning souls is not just knowing the lost are going to face God, we're going to face God. It's knowing that hell is a real place. Folks, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that there is a place where people go that's called hell. And listen, you'd be amazed at how many people, I'm talking about across the country, on platforms that have church on their sign that will never mention the word hell one time. Not one time. Because it's old preaching, we ought not to mention that. That's offensive. Well, let me ask you this. How offensive is it going to be when they die and wake up there and realize that you didn't tell them? How offensive is that going to be to them? You see, what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is there's wisdom in winning souls. It's knowing the lost are going to face God. It's knowing that we're going to face God. And it's knowing that hell is a real place. And people really do go there. You know, for those of you that are new to Christianity, when you go read Luke chapter 16, because you're gonna read periodicals and you're going to hear people say, oh, well, that's a parable. Well, let me say something quickly about that. First of all, it's not a parable. Jesus never introduced it as a parable. And you'll find that in parables, Jesus would always use something along this line, a certain man. But in this one, he said Lazarus. He used a name. He's not talking about a parable here. He's talking about a real instance, a real person, that one died and went to heaven, and the other died and went to hell. So let me give you some more wisdom about winning souls. Number four is that's this. Knowing that a lost person will not find Jesus on their own. A lost person will not find Christ on their own. Listen to me, folks. 28 years ago when I was lost, I wasn't looking for Christ. But you know what? He came looking for me. You say, well, how do we know that a lost person is not going to go looking for Christ? Well, it's the Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody's got to take it to them. Listen, when Jesus, church, stepped on that taxi cloud and ascended back to the right hand of the Father, you know what He said basically? And I hope you understand, I'm not being sacrilegious, but basically what He said, the ball's in your court now, church. I've done my job. Now it's your turn. The ball's in your court. Now it's up to you to win people to Christ. It's up to you to propagate the gospel. It's up to you to surround the globe with the truth of Christ. See, wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise because he knows the lost person is not going to find Jesus on their own. Somebody's going to have to help them. Now, when you were young and a child, remember playing hide and seek? Y'all never played that? I'll tell you how it works, since none of you played it before. Because everybody's... Okay, this is how it works. People go hide, and one person counts to 100 backwards or something like that, and then it's, ready or not, here I come. And everybody's hiding out. Now, a lot of times what happens is that people play it different ways, and you know, you find somebody, tag them, and then they're on your team, and they go out and try to find everybody else. Usually there's always one person that finds the ultimate hideout. Always. There's always one in a crowd. And everybody is looking for him. Now, what I'm saying to you, church, is simply this. One person looking for one person may take a while. But if we get together and I find somebody and I tag them, say, okay, now you're on my team, now there's two of us to go out and find the rest of them. And then we, pretty soon, if there's 10 or 8 or 10 of us, and all of a sudden now there's 10 of us and I've already tagged 9 of you, now there's 9 of us looking for one guy. Do you understand? If only one person's going looking for the lost, it's going to take them a while. But if all of us are looking for the lost, and all of us are looking for those that don't realize that they're hiding out somewhere, but if we all go, you know what? The chances of us finding more people that are lost, the odds go up. It's going to take more of us. Knowing the lost person will not find Jesus on his own. It's wisdom. Next, number five, knowing that God is continuing to be long-suffering to the lost. Do you hear me? I said the reason that he that winneth souls is wise is because we know that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But you say, preacher, how much longer is God going to be long-suffering? I don't know. But I know this, he doesn't want a single person to die without hope. He doesn't want a single person to die and go to hell. You see, wisdom tells us that we have a long-suffering God, that we have a merciful God. And if He was mercy to you, guess what? He'll be merciful to someone else. And we've got to go let them know. The world thinks that they're hopeless. Wisdom says, I know that God is long-suffering. He didn't want anybody to die. Number six, wisdom is knowing that the return of Jesus Christ is very near. Listen now, which will pronounce the end for many. Folks, I hope you do understand, if you know the Scriptures well enough, that when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel cries, you understand much of the world will be damned to hell. Because, listen, we live in the information age. You almost have to go out of your way not to hear the gospel now. You almost have to put blockers up on everything that you do and to keep from hearing the gospel. Because people are shooting it out on the internet. It's on signs. It's everywhere. Listen, folks, the Scripture is very plain that those people will be without excuse. You see, we know that the Lord is coming back, and when the trumpet sounds and the archangel cries, for many it's going to pronounce their doom. But for the saved, we know that Jesus said that He's going to prepare a place for us. And if He said if He goes to prepare a place for us, He will come again. He said that where I am, there you may be also. So we know that the return of Jesus is very near. Do you believe that? No. I said, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Because do you know that's another doctrine that's trying to be explained away? Do you know there's some knuckleheads that are trying to tell us that He's already come? Did you hear me? And then there's other knuckleheads that are going to try to convince you that we're going to go through the tribulation and then you'll go after that. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something about that. Do you know there's not one place in Scripture, not one Scripture illustration to back that up? May I remind you that God put Noah in an ark, put his family and shut the door, and then judgment came? Believers out, judgment in. Remember when He removed Lot and his family? Lot out, judgment in. Always in that order. So why would God change? He's not. You see, and by the way, folks, we know that, don't we? We know that. That's wisdom. Now let's put it to practice. And here's the last thing, and that is knowing that the sole responsibility of winning the world to Christ has been given to the church. We know that. Jesus told us in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that we're to be witnesses. He told us in Matthew chapter 28 that we were to go and preach the gospel to every creature. So then, church, why isn't every true born-again believer trying to do something to win souls to Christ? If we know the truth, if we know that people are dying without Christ, if we know that it's our responsibility, why are believers not witnessing and testifying for Jesus Christ? Why does over 50% of the membership not give some of their time to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, I thought you said we had 124. Yeah, we did. But you know how many we had in church Sunday? Seven times that. Where's everybody else? Wisdom hasn't entered in yet. You say, well, when's it going to enter in? For some, it will never. Now, because they've never allowed the wisdom of eternity and the reality of hell to truly enter their heart, and when wisdom of eternity is absent, then discretion is lost. And the believer will allow their own family members to die without Christ. Because, listen, it's not that they don't believe the Bible. It's just that they've never allowed the Bible to get a hold of them. They've never allowed the truth to enter in. And church, the lack of discretion, here's what it creates. It creates fear of rejection. You see, a lot of people don't go because they're afraid. But can I tell you, folks, if it's your mama and your daddy, what do you have to lose? You do realize there is no hell number two or three. There's one, and they've got one life and one soul, and when they die, that's it. You see, the lack of discretion creates It creates the fear of rejection. Number two, it creates carelessness of responsibility. The lack of discretion creates carelessness of responsibility. I think a lot of us, when we stand before God, that what God's going to judge us on is our carelessness with the book. Do you know the scripture says we've been entrusted with the gospel? Does that do to you what it does to me? You mean I've been entrusted with the book? You mean I've been entrusted to get the gospel out? Absolutely. But the lack of discretion, because of the lack of wisdom, it creates a fear of rejection, carelessness of responsibility. And then here's the last thing, regret of action. Regret of action. I used Mrs. Hill. She was here this morning. She works in the funeral business. And I told her that, or I mentioned this morning that, you know, she's probably heard it. She's heard it one time. She's probably heard it 1,000 times in her business. She's probably heard the word regret. No telling how many times. I've heard them. I've heard them say, you know what? The one thing I regret. The one thing I regret. You've heard them. The one thing I regret is I didn't spend more time with them. The one thing I regret is we didn't do this together. The one thing I regret is because we didn't go to vacation together or whatever it may be. You know what lack of discretion creates? Regret of action. And the reason that you have the lack of discretion is because wisdom has not entered in. Say, preacher, what is the wisdom of winning souls? There it is. It's knowing. And we, folks, know the truth. And God is glorified when we go out and we put to practice what we know. That's called wisdom. And he that winneth souls is, let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight, please bless us. Lord, we've had a great week so far. We've seen a bunch of people saved. We sure would like to see more people baptized and coming back to be obedient, join the church, and get in here and help us, Lord, to be co-laborers with Christ. We pray that you do something special in our hearts tonight. Help us, oh Holy Spirit of God, help us, empower us to do the work of the ministry. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I wonder who might, those here might say, preacher, I'm already saved. I know if the trumpet sounds tonight, I'm going to heaven. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't you slip your hand way up. I say, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there might be just one here tonight that would say, preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not a Christian. It's not that I don't want to be. It's just that I have some doubt about my eternal security or about my eternal life. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. You say, preacher, pray for me. I need prayer. I have some doubt about it. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? So that's me. Be honest. Be honest. Say, preacher, that's me. I have some doubt about when I die, where I'm going to go. Anybody like that? All right, then let me ask you one last thing. How many would say, preacher, I haven't been able to come out soul winning this week, but before our week of soul winning concludes on Sunday, I'm going to make at least one service or one meeting before you say, preacher, I hadn't been able to come out, but I'm going to make one. I've got to go and help reach people for the cause of Christ. How many would say, preacher, that's me. I'm going to do my best to be out. I haven't been, but I'm going to come out at least one time. Slip your hand wet pie. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right. God bless you. God bless you. 10 o'clock the next two mornings. 7 o'clock the next two nights. I hope that you'll come and join us. And as I pray, if you raise your hand, if you want to slip to your knees where you're in your pew, or you want to join us here, would you commit that to the Lord? Father, we now commend this invitation into your hands, asking you to bless, use it in a wonderful way, save souls, we pray. Thank you for the 111 that's already been saved. And Father, we got a lot of follow-up work to do. Please help us, guide us, lead us. We need your will to be done. And we ask, Lord, that these that raised their hands said they were going to come out at some session this week before it all ends and try to go out and keep somebody out of a devil's hell. We pray tonight that you'd burden our heart, convict us, Lord, about the direction that we're going, that we might turn our heart and our mind, that we might read the Word of God and allow wisdom to enter our heart, that, Lord, all of these elements might come in and that you might consume us, Lord, with the truth and with compassion and with knowledge and with a burden and with conviction to win souls. Father, some here tonight have loved ones that are without Jesus. Oh, Lord, save them. Please give them a testimony and a witness to their family. Some have co-workers. Some have next-door neighbors. Oh, Lord God, give them boldness to be a witness, I pray. that they might have fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instruments to just begin to play. If you want to come tonight, you come. We're not going to carry the invitation long. We're not going to be long tonight. You've been very patient. I hope that you'll come join us. Boy, we have had a great time. We'll meet tomorrow morning and Friday morning, and then on Saturday all of our regular soul winning meetings will be on schedule just like normal. There'll not be an assembly time. But if you can't come tomorrow morning, come tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.